Thank you. We're on the record. It's 1 p.m. on Monday, February the 16th. In attendance, Representative Coghill, Representative Rammers, Representative Holmes, Representative Gatto. We're very honored here in the House Judiciary Room to have the former Speaker, Speaker Harris, here to present HJR 17. Mr. Speaker, are you going to join us? Is it going to be Mr. Bitney or?
Oh, you have the unfortunate whatever of having me up here.
Are you going to have a seat?
I look out over the.
Are you going to have a seat?
Mr. Chairman, I look out over this august body and I see the guy I used to have to take orders from all the time right over here to my right, very far to my right. Representative Coghill.
Mr. Speaker, if I may say, because the rules are a little bit more relaxed in the Judiciary Committee room and at the prerogative of the chair, may I say, you look very handsome today, Mr. Speaker.
Well, when I flew in this morning, I didn't look so good, but I took just a couple minutes to straighten down.
We've been joined by Representative Lynn. Mr. Speaker, the floor is yours.
Representative Lynn, welcome to the committee.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. House Joint Resolution number 17 is nothing more than a statement of saying that we don't want the federal government meddling in the ability and the rights of Americans, law-abiding Americans, to infringe upon those rights of bearing arms. And House Resolution 45, which is in Congress, does just that. And the resolution says, knock it off, we don't need that. Doesn't say this. We need to concentrate more on trying to get the economy moving. We need to concentrate more on other things rather than trying to make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to own legally and to bear arms. So there's a lot of whereases in here. They're all pretty self-explanatory. I know speaking to one of the members who's not here right now, but had a little difficulty with one of them. But and Mr. Chairman, I also know that one of your members here has an amendment. So, and I'll say on the record early, I support the amendment. So, with that, I'm open to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could you take us through each of the whereases, please?
I can if you want me to. How long do you have?
Till three.
I'll do it if you want.
No.
I can play right along with you here if you want me to go through. And one of them says that anybody that can legally bear arms cannot go into Pike's Restaurant.
Okay.
That's number 19.
All right. And
you set me up, so I thought I'd.
Thank you. We're happy to have you here. And we have a light schedule today, so we are afforded just a little bit of levity. Are there any questions for Speaker Harris? Representative Gatto?
Thank you. Mr. Harris, or Representative Harris, when the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, I concentrate quite a bit on the word infringed. Mm-hmm. And to me, infringed means it's different than prohibited, it's different than opposed, it's different than a lot of things. The word infringed means you can't even annoy me. You can't bother me. You can't make it any way inconvenient for me. That's an infringement. And yet this is saying the bill being offered in Washington is a bill to license. Would that not be an infringement? If that's an infringement, it's already prohibited by the Constitution. What is the... Well, I guess I don't know what happens in Washington, but could they pass a bill that is contrary to the Constitution with a simple vote? If so, wouldn't the courts declare it unconstitutional? I guess that's what I'm after.
Representative Gatto through the chair.
We're here.
you would hope so. But the whole idea of the resolution is to encourage Congress to deal with other things besides this issue. Don't even get it to the point where it has to be challenged to the Supreme Court level. And there have been attacks, there have been efforts to try and take away people's rights to bear arms. This is just another one of them and maybe a little different way, but it goes down that road. And what we're trying to do is say from Alaska, we don't want to go down that road. Let's knock it off and deal with other issues that are more important.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, during Katrina, when they took firearms from law-abiding citizens, uh-huh. were they in violation of the U.S. Constitution? And I believe they were. And if they were, was there a penalty for that action?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gatto through the chair. I look around the room. I see at least one attorney. At least one attorney. I'm not one of them. Representative Holmes is one of them, and I'd have to defer to people who are actively pursuing the art of law, and I'm not. But I would assume that it would have been. But
that was a question.
He's asking more questions in 2 minutes than he asked me in all 4 years I was Speaker, so I don't know what the deal is.
Mr. Speaker, we have three folks from Fairbanks and two from Kenai that would like to offer public testimony. At this point in time, if you don't mind staying with us, we'd love to take the public testimony and then knock around a little bit, and then we do have an amendment that Representative Coghill intends to offer. So with that, can we go to Tammy Wilson in Fairbanks?
Hi.
Hi, Tammy. If you'll introduce yourself, even though I know who you are, and we're happy to hear from you, and your daughter is just glowing today. If you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
My name is Tammy Wilson, and I am on the Borough Assembly, but I'm here to testify on my own behalf. And I just would like to say thank you to Representative Harris and to all those who have signed on to this bill, and that I just really hope that you'll pass this along, and I'm just glad it's there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Questions? Seeing none, we thank you for taking time to join us today. Brent Ritchie? Are you with us, Mr. Ritchie?
I am here.
If you'll introduce yourself for the record and offer your testimony.
My name is Brent Ritchie. I live here in Fairbanks. And my comment's fairly short, and it has to it's directed toward the first whereas concerning the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. Basically, my comment is it's kind of a sad state of affairs is when, you know, people in the states have to remind the federal government to abide by their own law. And the wording in that Second Amendment is pretty clear to me. I mean, I think most citizens can understand that. So regardless of all the other language in the resolution, I think if people concentrate on that first whereas statement, they'll understand it, and it's hard to argue against it, you know, because that is the law. So my recommendation would be for the committee to pass the resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie, and I'll note for the record that Representative Lynn, who is here with us, Representative Coghill, who is here with us, and myself are all co-sponsors of the resolution that is before us. So thank you for your testimony. Questions for Mr. Ritchie? We don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. And then Mike Prax, you were with us here at the end of last week. Mike, are you with us?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's good to hear you.
Mike Prax, my address is 1015 Meadow Rue, North Pole, 99705. And I just want to thank the sponsors of this. And it's kind of unfortunate that the legislature has to take time up out of their busy schedule to keep track of the federal government. But I think, unfortunately, that is necessary. The federal government seems to have forgotten their limited role under the Constitution, and the state legislatures in Alaska and all the other states need to pay attention to what they're doing, part of representing us. And I just thank you again for taking your time, and I hope that this passes expeditiously. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Prax? Thank you very much for your compelling testimony, and we thank you. If we can go to Scott Heyman in Kenai, please. Scott, are you with us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Scott Heyman. I live in Kenai. I'd like to thank Representative Harris. He's been a strong supporter of the NRA in the past, and really happy that he has forwarded this resolution forward, and very thankful, too, that the rest of you have signed on to it. I'm sure that this will pass, and I just wanted to let you know that we are paying attention out here, and the natives are restless. We are just sick and tired of the stuff that continually comes at us from Washington, D.C., and I'm really glad to see this a resolution coming forward to help combat it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hammond? We thank you for taking time out of your day to testify, Mr. Hammond. Steve Catalano, are you with us, Mr. Catalano?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Steve Catalano. I'm a resident of Nikiski. I'd like to say that I'm in full support of HJR 17 and that I'd like to have my voice carried to Washington to remind Congress that I am not alone in the idea that I should have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right should not be infringed upon. I can't express how strongly I feel about this, but I'm sure that someone a lot smarter than I will be able to do that. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Catalano, you did a pretty good job. any questions for Mr. Catalano? I don't see any here around the table. Is there any more public testimony? Do you have anybody online? Is there anybody in the room who wishes to offer additional testimony? All right, seeing that public testimony is closed. Are there questions for the resolution sponsor, Representative Gatto? Mr. Speaker?
I'm trying to set my personal record here.
You've already done it.
Is there anything in the stimulus package addressing subsidizing gun ownership to make it easier for people to purchase and possess firearms?
I don't know. It's a thick, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gatto through the chair. It's a thick document. Have you seen that thing? It's
1,100 pages that no one's read yet.
I seriously doubt that there is, but who knows?
It was just kind of rhetorical.
It's not the kind of thing that I, quite frankly, am looking for in the stimulus package. but who knows? I don't know. Well, I'll research it after the meeting, I'm sure.
Representative Gatto?
Thank you.
Any more questions for the resolution sponsor? Mr. Speaker, it's such a privilege to have you in our hearing room. It really is. It's great. It's great. Then we'll bring it back to the committee. I have before me Amendment Number 1 by Representative Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment Number 1, which is A.1 by Luckup.
I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Coghill and then Representative Gatto has a question.
I had this drafted kind of while I was having lunch. It just occurred to me as we were reading the resolution that our own Constitution stands out for the individual right to keep and bear arms, which is a little stronger language than the U.S. Constitution for Alaskans particularly. Mm-hmm. And I think sending a resolution to Congress, we need to make sure that they understand that we have a constitutional duty in Alaska, and it's not just a light request. So I thought I would ask for that language to be put in at one line right after the U.S. Constitution. We could talk about Article 1, Section 19 of our Constitution, talking about that. We probably could have included the whole amendment, the whole article in this particular amendment, but I think just having it, that it further states the individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed is enough. So
thank you, Representative Coghill. We've been joined by Representative Grunberg. Representative Grunberg, we have before us HJR 17. We heard a presentation by Speaker Harris, mm-hmm. who took public testimony from Fairbanks and Kenai. We have since closed public testimony, and we now have Amendment Number 1 by Representative Coghill before us, which inserts the language from the State of Alaska Constitution. And Representative Gatto has a question. Representative Gatto.
Withdrawn.
Are there any other questions for the sponsor of the amendment? I will remove my objection. And without objection, Amendment Number 1 passes. Are there any other amendments to be offered? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, everybody else. I have been considering offering an amendment to delete the whereas on page 2, lines 3 through 5. And as the members will see if they review their packets, this relates to Title 5 of the proposed Blair Holtz Firearm Licensing and Record of Sales Act of 2009. The whereas in the resolution states, Mr. Chair, if I may read, Whereas H.R. 45 directs the Attorney General to establish and maintain a firearm injury information clearinghouse and to conduct studies of firearm-related deaths and injuries and to collect and maintain production and sales data from licensed firearm manufacturers. And it basically disapproves Title V of H.R. 45, which is the members would look at the bill, which is in our packets. That appears on page 12 of the bill, and it's section 501. And I'm also going to reference Title VII of the bill, which is on the last page, section 701.
Representative Grunberg, just to interrupt you for a moment. We're having discussion at this point. You're still contemplating offering amendment number 2, which is to withdraw, or do you want to move amendment number 2 and then move to discussion of the amendment? I just want
Thank you. Move the amendment.
Object.
All right. So we have amendment number 2 before us, which is to delete lines 3 through 5 on page 2. Is that correct, Representative Grunberg?
Yes, sir.
All right. And Representative Coghill objects. And now we have discussion. Representative Grunberg, you were going to read to us on page 12 of the...
I'm just going to reference. I'm not going to read the whole
okay.
thing. That section, Mr. Chair, states that the AG, the Attorney General of the United States, head of the U.S. Department of Justice, must establish and maintain a firearm injury information clearinghouse, which must collect, investigate, and analyze and disseminate data and information related to the causes and prevention of death and injury associated with firearms. It must also, the AG must also conduct continuing studies and investigations of firearms-related deaths and injuries. And finally, number 3, collect and maintain current production and sales figures for each licensed manufacturer. And then subsection B of that section requires the Attorney General at least annually to make a report to Congress on the information collected under subsection A, which I've just enumerated. And basically, what this does is it allows the Product Safety, Federal Product Safety Commission and others to have a database to ensure that these weapons are manufactured safely. And it will hopefully prevent injuries and deaths. I'm a strong supporter of gun rights. I have several weapons myself. I'm a former Navy gunnery officer. But I also know that they, like automobiles and every other kinds of complex and potentially dangerous machines, can cause death or injury, lawnmowers, gas heaters, everything else like that. And I think the more information we have as a society, the safer we can be sure they are. I'm not pointing a finger at this industry, and I want that very clear and on the record. I just am very concerned about consumer protection and product safety. And my friend, the former speaker, the representative who introduced this, Representative Harris, a good friend of mine, and I talked about this a few minutes ago, and he asked if I would support something like this for automobiles, and I said, you bet. I think it's important that we as a society and consumers know about all of these things. And that's why I think that we need to get this information, and it needs to be disseminated just like we have information that's disseminated on the television every day about potential side effects from pharmaceuticals and things like that. It's the same kind of a situation. Secondly, on the production and sales figures for each licensed manufacturer, that relates to subsection Title VII, which is the subordination to the Arms Export Control Act. And that act, which has been amended a number of times, basically requires that the, if I may paraphrase from that, the sense of Congress that the aggregate value of defense articles and defense services sold under various sections of this article, unless you're licensed or approved, in any fiscal year should not exceed current levels. And that was enacted, I believe, in possibly 1981. I'm not certain about that. But the point is that there are certain levels of sales and exports that are have been ordered by previous federal law. And this information may be very helpful in maintaining information necessary to enforce the our national security, particularly the Arms Export Control Act, which is 22 U.S.C. Section 2751. And I think it's also important to note, in that case, if American manufacturers or anyone else are exporting and selling these weapons to governments and other groups, terrorist groups, anybody else, which could be used against us and in violation of our national security. And that's why, with all respect for the maker of the bill and the other supporters of the bill, co-sponsors, while I do support the bill, the resolution, and will vote for it, I think we should not highlight and disapprove this particular provision and would just ask that it be stricken. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your articulate point of view. I will point out that the Arms Export Control Act will control that last item that you referenced. I'd like to ask the maker of the resolution how you feel about Amendment Number 2. Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, as I told the maker of the amendment earlier in my office, I did not support the amendment. But I do understand. I do understand where the maker of the amendment is coming from. But here's really the crux of the problem. The bill, the resolution, deals with all the subjects that this particular bill from Congress has in it. And I know that the maker of the amendment wants one part of that bill taken out, but the reality is it's in there. I oppose the entire bill, and it just happens to be noted in one of the whereases about the topic that's in there, and it's right there in Title V. And basically what Title V does is it makes larger government more intrusive, digs deeper into your rights, more paperwork. And if we're really looking at a smaller, tighter government, this certainly doesn't do it.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to maintain my opposition. I generally agree with the idea that more information that we can get, the better. But in this particular case, I think with the variety of different laws that we have on, including other registration issues for NICS when you buy, I'm nervous, and it goes up to the other section in the federal law that they're trying to put together, where the Attorney General may issue an order prohibiting the sale or transfer under the conditions that 501 would state. And then the sales figures of licensed manufacturers could add another bureaucratic layer. So I'm just nervous about how the whole bill works together. And so I am still going to maintain my objection. I understand the idea of collecting information, but here they're talking about disseminating data, information relating to the causes and prevention of death. I don't mind that. But I think under the orders that could be given to the Attorney General, prevention could take a pretty broad look. And so, you know, without debating the whole bill, I'm just nervous about saying, let's just say everything's okay but that section. And so I will maintain my objection to the amendment on this and then see what they come back with as a whole new section of law.
In wrap up, I don't know.
Yes. Are there other comments around the table regarding Amendment Number 2? Representative Gruenberg, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just to wrap up, Mr. Chair, that I do support the amendment. I mean, not the amendment. I support the amendment too, but I do support the bill, and you know, I think that our delegation should vote against H.R. 45, which would include not passing sections 501 and 701. I just am opposed to highlighting that section as yet that section 501 as another reason to oppose the bill when we have so many other reasons to do so. It's not necessary to support the conclusion. These resolutions are syllogisms, and the whereases are the propositions, and then the conclusion is the resolved. And if you have 15 reasons to support the conclusion, it is amply supported without adding a 16th, which is controversial and may have some reasons that would merit further review. I don't think it's necessary to reach the conclusion that the bill as a whole should be opposed. And I'm not suggesting that we do anything that would oppose the bill. I'm just saying that this is an unnecessary provision, and it may well have some beneficial impacts. It could certainly be something that's a standalone provision, and then we could debate it on the merits. But I just don't think it's necessary to reach the conclusion that the bill should be respectfully opposed.
Thank you, Representative Gruberg. And for myself, because I like words, what does syllogism mean?
A syllogism is an article, it is an argument that proceeds from certain premises to conclusions. And there are different kinds of syllogisms, and it's one of the most effective tools in the study of rhetoric and argument.
Outstanding.
But I can't spell it.
IT.
Out of my mouth.
We're blessed to have a lot of familiarity around this table. Thank you for your remarks, Representative Gruenberg. The objection is maintained. Susan, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Coghill?
No.
Representative Gatto?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom is not present. Representative Rammers?
No.
Two yes, four no.
With that, amendment number two fails. Representative Gruenberg, any? Thank you. We have no other amendments before us. We have before us HJR 17. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the bill.
Gruenberg? Any question?
I just have a couple comments before we.
Representative Holmes?
I withdraw the motion.
Thank you. Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was thinking, obviously I'm not going to, I was thinking at one point about adding proposing an amendment to add a whereas and may talk to the bill sponsor later about doing so on the floor. In lieu of that, I just want to say when I was reading through this, I noted that this is a bill that I think was written by a inner city Chicago congressman who clearly doesn't have a lot of experience with the culture of Alaska. Because there were many parts of this that I read that I thought were out of touch with the way things are done in our state. One of them in particular that caught my eye was one of the requirements to be issued a firearm license, which requires that the person provide a certificate that the applicant will keep any firearm owned by the applicant safely stored, that's good, and out of the possession of persons who have not attained 18 years of age. And I thought it was really interesting that throughout this whole bill, there was a great emphasis on not having anybody under the age of 18 have access to firearms. Maybe if you're in the inner city of Chicago and you're thinking about gangs, that might make sense to you. But when you're in Alaska and we want to teach our youngsters gun safety and we want to teach them how to hunt and enjoy the great outdoors, I thought that was just sort of symbolic of a lot of parts of this resolution that I thought were out of step with Alaskan values, and so I'm going to be supporting our amendment, or our resolution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your remarks. Any other remarks on the
Mr. Chairman,
legislation?
Just one.
Mr. Speaker?
Undoubtedly, the sponsor of the Congressional House resolution is not a member of the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus.
Why not?
Point well made. Representative Gruenberg?
Would you like a motion?
Please.
I move H.J.R. 17, Committee CS, Incorporating Amendment 1, and I don't see a fiscal note. I don't know if there will be a fiscal note. There won't be, with individual recommendations.
Thank you. Without objection, H.J.R. 17 moves from committee. Mr. Speaker, what a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And at 1:30, and we are adjourned.